and 10 to the 40,000th power.
Yeah.
1 over a 1 and 40,000 zeros behind it. And this guy, this evolutionist came up and said, well, why can't you give us that chance? So if we prove that Jesus is Lord 99.99%, they will take that door of that 0.001 chance. Mm-hmm. They will take it. So what we're after is conclusive. I kind of have a personal that you know, when you say somebody is forced to the conclusion, well, there is no coercion in the kingdom of God. And so there will, even though we can prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus is Lord, that the Word of God is true, there is still that place where they will choose. And most often it becomes a matter of will, not intellect. Sometimes it's emotional. Somebody, they know, got hurt. Doesn't matter what you say, yeah, I believe Jesus is Lord, and everything in the Bible is true. I refuse to bow. So we have to be open and dealing with them, and then you got to have this little bit of a strategy of what to do when somebody's just going to, they're going to set their will and not listen. So we pray for them. Mm-hmm. Something will happen, and they'll know who to call because mm-hmm. their kid is sick or something, and or they're facing some kind of trauma and they need help. So we stay gracious. Stay friendly, because the time will come around, because it happens in life. We live in a dangerous world.
Why did God let that happen?
It's because we live in a dangerous world and people make choices. So, we're always coming back to here. Now, we usually, you heard him talking about laws of logic, laws of physics. Those are the things that exist here. There is a wonderful wealth of evidential things that the earth is not millions of years old. Mm-hmm. People, according to their religion, find what they're looking for in general. And so, ultimately, is the question, is it true? Yeah, you believe that, but is it true? A good question, or somebody asked, you know, if you're wrong, wouldn't you like to know? And most people say yes. So would you let me show you? That's a matter. No. So we move in that direction. So with neutrality, everybody has a starting point. It's kind of like what you were saying a little earlier. We all start somewhere. We all bring something to the table. There's no such thing as a blank slate. That got started in like the 1200s. Children, babies are born as blank slates. That's not true. And we don't come, you know, after 18 years, we are absolutely not blank slates. We're hardened concrete. So when people are trying to talk about neutrality, well, let's just be neutral. You set your Bible aside. I'm not going to set my atheism aside, but it's like we'll all pretend we're atheists and we'll see if we can come up with God in our research. That's exactly backwards. And it's like getting on an airplane called neutrality. You can get on that airplane, it's going to take off, you're going to have this wonderful discussion that could be very fruitful, but you're still landing at that airplane's destination. Mm-hmm. It's still taking you where you don't want to go and don't want to end up. So we don't even start. We start early with God. And I've heard various people talk about how, you know, they moved into a new neighborhood. First thing they did, make up a whole bunch of cookies, take plates of cookies around. We're Christians. If you ever need somebody to pray for you, we're here. Let them know right up front who you are and what you're about. So we're starting with God. Somebody look up. This is about starting points. We already looked up Isaiah 6:3. holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled with his glory. But what about Matthew 28? And then somebody else look up Colossians and Romans. Whoever's got Matthew, just read it out there. Last few verses of Matthew.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything as I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
And don't call me Shirley. So that very first phrase that Jesus said, how much authority? Where?
Heaven and earth.
It's all his. And being in Christ, we have that with him. Part of the job of the church is to carry out that authority in the earth. But it's all his. How much does the devil have?
Zip.
Yeah.
Presidents, kings, prime ministers. It's all his.
Yeah.
It's all his. And individually and nationally, they're either cooperating or rebelling. Mm-hmm. And I started doing a saying, I never heard anybody talk about it. It's where it says, make disciples of all nations. That's the modern rendition, is make converts of individuals within countries. He said, disciple the nations. Mm-hmm. And going back into the prophets, that's part of what their job was. To help the nations, even the pagan nations. God judged pagan nations because of their failure to comply with his ways of doing things. They weren't just independent out there. Israel had the covenant, but these other nations were still responsible to God for how they conducted their affairs, just like every human being. Go to Colossians. That's the Colossians 2.
I do. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ.
All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. So it's, we start with him, we have access to those. The world can, and has, through science, real science, observable, testable, repeatable. Beliefs don't play a part. But when we, that's called operational science. That's the how things work. And all you have to do is be a pretty good observer. Look and see how things are working. You might develop a theory about why or whatever. But when we get into historical science, forensic science, then beliefs play a larger, further you go back in time, the more beliefs. I remember growing up watching, I don't think a Discovery was out there, but National Geographic TV, they had these specials on, and they'd have an archaeology, and it was somebody would discover a grocery list and they're wondering what kind of religious significance this held. Everything they uncovered had some kind of religious significance. And they finally got over all of that. The only reason to save anything is because it's religious. So that always struck me as why is everything in history religious? But it moved on. So I forgot where it's going. Anyway,
that reminds me though, my thought like at one point was more like, so the stuff we're using now, when they dig it up, you know, without any, there's going to be all kinds of weird, bizarre ideas about, you know, this religious significance of this, you know, doll or whatever, when, like right now, it's not any religious significance. I mean, like, it's nothing. It's just stuff we have.
Our little it's not a stone airplane that's 3,000 years old.
It worships things.
Okay, where I was going is history. And the further we go back in history, the more faith and belief plays a part in it. And that comes ultimately in the form of evolution and the Big Bang Theory. There are no witnesses. It's completely unrepeatable. There's no one has ever seen one kind of creature turn into another kind of creature. We've seen speciation. The same kind breaks up into subunits like horses and zebras and donkeys and all that kind of stuff, or cats and all that kind of stuff. But we've never seen one kind of creature becoming another kind of creature. Even when they mutate bacteria, they can't get it to become a different kind of bacteria.
That's right.
It's always the same kind. And the mutations are always neutral to fatal. So the beliefs that we start with, and if you got there's nobody's neutral, everybody's got a starting point, and part of discerning where somebody's starting point is helps you know how far down the path to the dandelion heads you want to go. You don't just deal with issues out here. You're not dealing with their belief system that generates those ideas. So, you have the part, the apologetics concepts page. Starts off with everybody has a. And I have a more expanded definition of all of these, and it's everybody has presuppositions. That's those starting points. That's why I had read Matthew 28. What's the starting point of all authority? It's all of Christ in heaven and on earth. It's all His. So if that's our, the whole earth is covered with the glory of God. It's already here. There are things that are already in place, and everybody has these starting points. So, presuppositions are the most basic or fundamental beliefs held tenaciously. That's why they get heated when you start tampering with them. Believed by faith, not verifiable by natural science. Presuppositions cannot be verified by natural science, by operational science. There's evidence for them, but they cannot be proved. It's the foundation of metaphysics, epistemology, and morals, ethics, and values. So if what people believe, in the beginning nothing, or in the beginning God, beginning Brahma, don't come across that too much, but
too many warnings up.
There's so of faith, and I really there's the Hebrews 11:1 definition, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith is trust in an authority. Everything you believe, you got from somebody. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you begin to think and thoughts pop up, and it's really a revelation. Not every thought you think is your own. That's why we have to take every thought captive to Christ, because they're not all ours. The demonic world has the ability to inject things. The world, the media world around us just floods us with thoughts. And so we have to take them captive. But when we give authority to a certain place, we start believing what they say. We trust that authority. We trust the authority of God. We trust the authority of God's word. And so that comes from Jesus was going to go to the centurion's house. And he said, no, I'm not worthy. You should come under my roof. I have soldiers, and I tell them what to do. All you have to do is say, your words are your soldiers. And I trust my soldiers to go do what I'm going to do, what I tell them to do. So it's a trust in authority. It also has to do with certainty. Faith has a certainty to it. That's the Hebrews 11:1. It's not, well, I just believe. That's not faith. Well, that's just my opinion. So? Let me practice that. So? It's confidence in something. I have confidence in the chairs. I trust the authority of my boss who said I'm going to get paid next Friday. Every human being lives all of this stuff. All of it. It's also what allows us to touch the future. I'm going to get paid next Friday. And I can say, I don't have the money now, but I will on Friday. The boss says so. It's faith, and everybody did. These atheistic types who hate religion really hate it when you point this out. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we have no idea how evolution works, but give us time. And in the future, well, that kind of sounds like faith to me. And we point that out to them. There's these little things we just point out to them. Okay. Religion is the exercise of daily life based on one's faith. Everybody lives their faith every day. You want to hear see somebody's real religion? Just watch them for a while. Everybody has bad days. You know? Goes without saying, but how over time you can see what somebody's, regardless of what's coming out of their mouth, because how they live, and we live that. That's your religion. The theology is the belief system that outlines the religion. Some of them are very well documented. What we believe and why. A statement, an atheistic statement of faith. It's out there. We believe in that everything is equal except Christianity. We don't know anything, but we know you're wrong. The philosophy answers the larger question and serves religion. It plays the toddler test. Why? That's its big function. Why is it like that? Eschatology, or a view of expectation of the future that affects how you live today. Everybody lives today because they believe things about the future. Islam is taking the world because they believe it is their eschatological destiny. We just make more babies than anybody else, and pretty soon we'll be controlling the voting to school districts, and then the voting to mayors, and then the voting to prime ministers. That's about the idea. Okay. Last one, worldview. You heard Robbie mention that. The atheistic worldview, a network of presuppositions in the light of which all experience is interpreted and interrelated. What do you do when you hear something revolutionary? Most of the time we just check it. Well, that doesn't agree with my checklist, so we'll get rid of it. Frames of reference through which reality is viewed and new information is integrated, within which are continent views. So there's the Christian worldview, but within Christianity I call them continent views. There's the Catholic continent view. There's the Pentecostal continent view. There's the Baptist. All the denominational views are just various continents within the larger Christian worldview. And in the larger Christian world, most agree on stuff. There's a very high level of agreement. But then there's all these little things that create the divisions. And so there's a feedback loop back to presuppositions. Because all of this changes if you change your presuppositions. Mm-hmm. Everything flows from those most basic fundamental beliefs that we have. Pick it up next to you.
Do you have Father, an extra copy of that?
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
Father, thank you for today and for our time together. We bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Pray your spirit over the service. And everybody coming and going, or retroactively first service, everybody that is going. And so, but again, we thank you, Father. We thank you for Jesus,
mm-hmm, yes,
the author and finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
In his name, amen.
Amen. Amen.